up, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net! Mamma mia! Lionel! Ramel Kielco now. Here's a Honduran, and he'll whip it in back to the far post. Elis! Albert Elis, La Panterita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. Your humble servant here, Glenn Davis. Tonight, the transfer deadline is closed. We've got some late additions to talk about here, especially with Manchester United. We've got a bunch of other things on this show, including two good guests tonight. Warren Barton will join me, the former Newcastle United defender, Fox analyst. He will join us on the show tonight. Also, Juan Arango is going to join us on the show. Juan is a commentator, does a lot of Copa Libertadores matches. Looking forward to catching up with him as well. As always, we now have tonight Sam Pica behind the glass now for the second consecutive show. BK back focused on his show. Sam, how are you?
Doing great, Glenn. You know, I've been a little more focused on the pigskin than the pitch this week, but other than that, doing great.
Yeah, you know, the guys I heard before coming on tonight, I heard them talking about the Houston Astros. I heard them talking about the Bill O'Brien firing. I mean, there was a lot of other things going on there.
It's been a big week, man, especially around here.
Yeah, is it true that the Dodgers were playing like simulation of hitting garbage cans audio in their stadium with the Astros playing out there?
I haven't heard about that, but I really hope that that's true.
Yeah, but if that's true, come on. How classy is that?
Oh, I'm all for dirty games, man.
Oh, you don't like class. Okay, never mind. It is the Dodgers, though. The famous, you know, come on. Sandy Koufax, Fernando Valenzuela. We're going back. You know, I don't know. But anyway. All right, let's move it on here. So a couple of things to talk about right off the top here. Manchester United signed Edinson Cavani, and of course, he's 33 years of age. It's one I don't really get. He comes as a free agent. He comes as a free transfer. Maybe that's how I can get it a little bit better. But with Marcus Rashford, with Mason Greenwood, with Anthony Martial, this is a very different striker than these three young guys. Those three guys haven't been getting a lot of good service, so I'm not sure that that's going to change for a guy that needs it in Cavani. A very talented player, but he is 33 years of age. Brian Robson came out, the former Manchester United midfielder, and said basically, this would have been a good signing 5 years ago. Yeah, it gives them kind of a target striker if they wanted to change things up. Whatever they're doing, it's not very good, because we're going to talk about that stunning 6-1 loss to Spurs, and then Aston Villa 7-2 over Liverpool. So Manchester United and Liverpool gave up a combined 13 goals this weekend. Just crazy score lines. The other thing to focus on, though, in the transfer market when it comes to Manchester United is Alex Telles from Porto. Apparently 20 million. He's a left back. They need one. So we'll see what happens with that. Young player. Also, he spent $48 million in a deal with Atalanta's 18-year-old winger, Amad Diallo. They won't get him until January. So pretty incredible. And then, you know, there's been some signings and some moves that have occurred, obviously, prior to this window that are really paying off right now. James Rodriguez at Everton. Everton are 4-0 right now. He's opening up a lot of space for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. By the way, Calvert-Lewin, 6 goals in the Premier League. This is all under Carlo Ancelotti. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal manager. And they've been getting a lot of press for their center back, Ben Godfrey, as well. So, you know, there are teams in the league now that are beginning to, you know, improve. That seems to make it more than just a couple of team race now. So you've got The improvement of Everton, obviously. Let's see how long this lasts, but I think this is a good thing for them. Leeds is coming into the league on a big high. They're getting some results, a draw with Manchester City. You've also got a very improved Aston Villa. So some interesting things going on, and we'll talk Aston Villa in a second here. Thomas Partey has gotten over the line for Mikel Arteta and Arsenal. They got him from Atletico Madrid, midfield worker. Wow. Arsenal had to meet a $58 million release clause. So there you go. Stan Kroenke definitely spends now with Arsenal a bit. And Arteta gets his man. Meanwhile, the Colorado Rapids are still scratching their heads and wondering when more will happen for them. They've had some problems in Major League Soccer with COVID as well. All right, so Manchester United got beat 6-1 by Spurs. I watched this game. 29 seconds in, United gets a penalty. Bruno converts it. And then the downward spiral began. After 8 minutes, it was now 2-1 Spurs. Just absolutely shambolic defending from United. Harry Maguire not looking very, very good. Halftime, it was 4-1. And then at the end of 90 minutes, it was 6-1. Paul Pogba, just still not convinced that he's bought in. He's the guy to build the team around and be the leader. He obviously, I think, still wants out. Everybody's throwing the knives at Solskjaer, which they had been up to this game. Son gets two for Spurs. Dembele, Kane gets two. Aurier gets one as well. Martial, by the way, was red carded in the 28th minute. So not a good thing there. Aston Villa, 7-2 over Liverpool. They had 29% of the possession in this game. Everybody knows who Ollie Watkins is now. He hit for a hat-trick for Villa. Two for Grealish. And they've strengthened their team. McGinn and Barkley get goals as well. Mo Salah got two for Liverpool. Watkins had a hat-trick by the end of the first half, which was pretty incredible. Again, 70% possession for Liverpool. 11 shots on goal for Villa, and 7 go in. Now, this is... I'm not the biggest of always of stats because it doesn't always quantify things, but Liverpool had 650 passes to 285 for Aston Villa. Pretty unbelievable. Some real shock factor to that. Shock factor to the Spurs 6-1 win over Manchester United. Arsenal 2-1 over Sheffield United. Two goals early in the second half. Saka in the 61st and in the 64th, Pepe. Pepe came off the bench, brought a great spark in that game for Mikel Arteta. Hector Bellerin got the cross in for Saka, and then 3 minutes later was a solo for Pepe. So pretty nice win there for Arsenal, who continues to look very, very impressive. Wolves, a 1-0 victory over Fulham. In the 56th minute, Pedro Neto off his left foot. That was power, pure power. A U.S. note there, U.S. national team players Tim Ream, obviously still at Fulham, was a part of them getting promoted. Anthony Robinson gets his Premier League debut, who has played for the U.S. national team as well. Chelsea 4-0 over Crystal Palace. Chilwell, Zuma, Jorginho got two. Chelsea 70% of the possession. Good news for U.S. fans. Christian Pulisic came on in the 83rd minute. Chelsea bench at the start of this game had Mason Mount, Pulisic, Olivier Giroud, who gives them a target man, and they can change their style a bit. And then Frank Lampard started Timo Werner, Callum Hudson-Odoi, Kai Havertz, and Tammy Abraham, Jorginho. Man, they got some riches at Chelsea. Leeds and Manchester City was a great game, 1-1. Up and down, open. I think like any promoted team, you always have to watch because they come in on such a high-flying feel. But this is a Bielsa team. 1-1. 17th minute, Raheem Sterling. 59th, Rodrigo Moreno got the equalizer. That was his first goal for Leeds. That was a super entertaining game. I don't know if you watched it. Super entertaining game. If you did, you can give us a shout. 512-447-3776. 512-447-3776. You can call into the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. I did put out last week who would be the ideal opponent for the first ever Major League Soccer regular season game at McCalla Place for Austin FC. Got a lot of different shouts there, some saying Dallas, some saying Houston, some saying a star-studded team, but a lot of different shouts there. So if you have an idea who you'd like to see, 512-447-3776 is the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline number. Newcastle 3-1 over Burnley. Callum Wilson the pair in that one. So Americans in Europe, this is really hitting a tipping point for us when it comes to U.S. players that are playing on big-name teams. Gio Reyna, 3 assists. Of course, the son of sporting director Claudio Reyna of Austin FC. He assisted on the first 3 goals for Dortmund. The weight of some of his passes is absolutely beautiful. And this all before his 18th birthday in a 4-0 win over Freiburg. You look at some of the delivery on these passes and just the weight and how perfect the weight of the pass was. And there's times, you know, he'll run. And he looks like his father, no question. 80 minutes, he had 70 touches on the ball. And, again, that's a kind of an indicator how much Dortmund's looking to play through a guy that's not even 18. Unbelievable. Now, Chris Richards got the start at right back for Bayern Munich. And I'm kind of just going to say, whoa, slow down a little bit. Incredible opportunity, don't get me wrong. Took advantage of it, Chris Richards, in a meaningful match against Hertha Berlin. Bayern got a 4-3 win. Richards did get an assist. He also had another one that was called back on a nice little cross he hung up to Thomas Müller. He played very simply if you watched the game. He joined in a bit, especially after extended possession. Tell the Bayern players were really just supportive of him being out there. And the way he played, but I think he handled his opportunity wonderfully. On another note, they needed somebody to play right back. He got the opportunity to do it. He has played it before at youth levels and in other situations. But Bayern is formalizing, and I don't know if it got done. We need to look this up. Bounassar from Marseille, French League One. So Richards went 66 minutes, connected on 43 of 48 passes. And again, he's an amazing story. Was identified down in Alabama, came to Houston, played a year for Eric Quill, who's at the North Texas affiliate that plays in the second USL2 for FC Dallas. So Eric Quill brings him to Houston. At the time, he's working with the Texan Soccer Club in Houston. And makes a decision that a lot of people don't make. You know, most people, well, I wouldn't say most people. I hope this has changed from my days running a youth club. But people would hang on to players that needed the challenge of another level, you know, just to get results. And Eric Quill said, look, there's nothing more we can do here. He needs to be moved on. So he moved him, calls up FC Dallas, moves him to Dallas. Dallas does his deal with Bayern Munich. It's kind of an agreement to share resources and ideas and things like that. And the next thing you know, he's over there taking advantage of that. And the next thing you know, down the road, he's a Bayern Munich player. And now he's played in a league game. And a league game as a starter and in a game that was competitive. You know, he's come off the bench late in games that were over. So pretty remarkable story there. And it's just, again, has taken his places now. So you got Richards at Bayern Munich. You got Sergiño Dest, who became the first American to play for Barcelona in the final 15 minutes in the 1-1 draw against Sevilla in La Liga this past weekend. Great game, by the way. Is this the year Sevilla wins the league title? They've only won it once before. Anyway, Dest was introduced on Thursday and fit in perfectly on his debut. Steady performance, 11 for 11 with passes. There was one moment he got down the left side, played some tremendous combination play. I can't remember who it was with. But then it ultimately leads to a tremendous opportunity for Lionel Messi. And you're just going, wow, just remarkable. So back to him. Jordi Alba gets hurt in the game. And he's sitting up, you know, in the seats with the other reserves. And all of a sudden you see this picture of him scrambling, trying to find a jersey. And, you know, it's 15 minutes from the end of the game, and he's got to go in, and he goes in, and he doesn't skip a beat. So it was pretty fantastic debut for him. Juventus was supposed to play Napoli. Napoli didn't show because of COVID. But my understanding is that Weston McKennie was not going to be in the starting lineup for that one, but he's at Juventus. So, you know, it's just incredible the Americans in Europe now that are playing on these massive teams. Tyler Adams is another one. At RB Leipzig, who had that wonderful goal in the semifinals of the Champions League. So a lot of things happening there. Okay, so I'm going to take it to the home front here a little bit. And on the home front, what I'm going to tell you is this. Texas went to WVU, the Texas women. They go to 1-3. They got beat 2-1 at WVU. Julia Grosso, the Canadian international, got her first of the year. Remember, they're only playing 9 games. They're 1-3 now. Grosso's goal was the 11th of her career. She's been to the World Cup with Canada. She was assisted by Haley Berg, another really, really talented player. Longhorns will be home Friday. They'll take on Kansas State. Kansas State's 0-3. This is one the Longhorns need. And Kansas State has not played since September 18th. That was a 4-1 loss to WVU, so that's a good one to get Texas back in the win column on Friday night. And there's been great crossover that you don't see in every market with some of the supporters groups. You know, Los Verdes, Austin Anthem, I think all out there supporting the Longhorns. I think that's pretty cool. Great work, great crossover as well. Austin Bold defeated San Antonio FC 2-1. Billy Forbes, former Wake Forest Emma Tumasi. Bold don't make the playoffs. 16 make the playoffs in the USL Championship. Saturday, San Antonio FC has had an outstanding season, although they've lost 2 games in recent times. So they're going into the playoffs. You get a little concerned about that, your form going into playoffs, but they're going to take on New Mexico United. That's at Toyota Field in San Antonio. That's the Western Conference quarterfinals. So some good stuff there. All right. I think we'll hit a break here. Before we go to break here, a word here for our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John is a firm or injury, personal injury attorney law firm. A big thank you to them for getting soccer on the radio, both in Austin and Houston. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, you get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle. You might drive an 18-wheeler, work in a refinery, construction. Call the Daspit Law Firm, 512-865-6710, DaspitLawAustin.com. They are bilingual. That is the place you can connect with them. And John and his firm, big supporters of soccer. He's a Chelsea guy. He's been to Chelsea games. And if you need a personal injury attorney, think DaspitLawAustin.com. Also to Lustav Vermouth. Lustav Vermouth is really refreshing. It's great Spanish vermouth. It's fun. You have it over ice. You do it over ice with tonic water or club soda. You get a good tonic water with botanicals in it. And you pair it with your favorite gin, too, and a gin and tonic. You get the orange peel, you break the orange peel, you get the essence, you get the oils, and then a few drops of lime juice. Lustav Vermouth is refreshing. Comes in a couple of different styles. Rojo with hints of caramel and cola. It's great in a Manhattan or Negroni, kind of with brown spirits. Or the rosé with a hint of vanilla. Or the white, which has a bit of rosemary kind of to it. That's what I get out of it. And they're both great in gin and tonic. So Lustav Vermouth. Ask for it at your local liquor store. They will order it. Soccer Matters will roll on when we come back. Our first guest is up. Juan Arango will join us when we come back. We're going to talk some Copa Libertadores. We're going to talk about the impact of the expansion team Inter Miami in the city of Miami. How relevant are they? That's a good one to connect with Austin FC, who we know are relevant. We'll take a break. Soccer Matters, brought to you by DaspitLawAustin.com.
Look at this opportunity here for Guadalupe Cecilia Dominguez. Still Dominguez. And it is 3-1. That's game, set, and match for Guadalupe.
Yeah, we talked about Cecilia Dominguez's quality, and he just gave us a glimpse there. It's a penalty he scored against Tigre. Cecilia Dominguez off the bench to help them on their way to victory last time out. And this time, it's probably something we're more accustomed to seeing Cecilia Dominguez do. Just beats the offside chap there, skips around Marinelli, and then cuts between two to find the back of the net.
Well, there you hear him. Austin FC, that's your guy, Cecilia Dominguez. Skips around a defender. That's how it was described. Gotta love that. Song by LCD Sound System. Good song coming back from break there. All right, so I mentioned Bounassar signing for Bayern Munich. So they did complete that deal. He's 28 years old. He is a right back. So concerning Chris Richards, he's being brought in to play right back. He's under contract to 2024 from League One Marseille. So they did get their man. They got him for on a decent deal, $12 million transfer fee. So there you go. So that's their addressing of the right back position. Chris Richards will continue to grow and get experiences at Bayern, I would assume. But got to watch the young players because they're making some waves over in Europe. And, of course, with two World Cups coming up, it's an enticing kind of thought to think these guys are getting this type of experience at clubs like Juventus, Bayern Munich, Chelsea, and on we go, Barcelona, etc. All right, next guest, Juan Arango joins us. He's a Latin American correspondent at Diario Sport in Spain. He's also a match commentator. He's called a lot of games, including Copa Libertadores. Juan joins us now. Juan, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Glenn? How are you?
Happy to have you on the show, Juan. Appreciate it. And thanks for taking the time out to join us.
No, happy to be here.
All right. So the first thing is you do a lot of Copa Libertadores. And I want to take you into the Copa Libertadores because you call this league. Yeah. And it is sort of South America's Champions League. I want you to compare it to the European Champions League, because I love the nature of it that's just kind of off the rails. And we had Dario Salon, who played for River Plate and has played in it. He was talking about stories where batteries came out of the crowd and everything. So just take us a little bit into Copa Libertadores and the national desire of these teams against each other.
I mean, in a normal circumstance, you would see a lot of that, everything from the fireworks to the flares to the confetti and the energy, depending on certain nights. You know, when you see Anfield during the day during Champions League, but then you see Boca, River, or Nacional with their flags, and you're like, well, okay, it seems kind of tame, but at the same time, you understand the different kind of intensity that there is. It's a tournament that seems to always have the element of surprise. You might have a team that you think is going to be the candidate to win, all of a sudden gets knocked out by a team that no one expected. You have those Cinderella runs that we've seen in previous years. It's not as clear cut as to who's going to win. Like in the Champions League, you know that Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Manchester City, Liverpool, those are the teams that you will usually see in the semifinal. Real Madrid, those are the teams that you will usually see in a quarterfinal or semifinal. Here, depending on how things go, you can see a squad that is just rolling along the group stage. The summer transfer market comes and the team's decimated, and all of a sudden they have to start all over again. Or you have a team that just rolls through and all of a sudden finds a team that just gets inspired one day and all of a sudden they're out. It gives you that element that every team, every match has that element of importance, because you have to undergo such change. You have to undergo such grueling conditions. Not many teams, unless you're going to Russia or even to the farthest reaches of Russia, is going to take about a 4 or 5 hour flight. Just going from Barranquilla to Buenos Aires is about a 5.5 hour flight. You go and maybe it's 89, 90 degrees in Barranquilla, and then you play the return leg in Buenos Aires, and it's about 20. It's 30 degrees. Maybe, you know, you might even get a chance in Porto Alegre, and you end up going in June or July, and it's snowing. So you have so many changes. You play one time at ocean level, at sea level, and then play the return leg in La Paz, which is about 3,700, which is about, just if my math is off, it's about almost 11,500 feet above sea level. So you have all those extremes that you have to do, you know, topography, the fans, the distractions, the ambiance of it in a normal situation makes it that much more electric.
Yeah, amazing. That's a great way to describe it. And, you know, that's the answer to everybody who says, oh, why aren't we trying to get Major League Soccer teams in this tournament, or why Mexican teams aren't in it, is just logistically, it's just an absolute nightmare, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, so people have a reference. The closest team would be Inter Miami, for example. It would be, if they play Boca or River, it would be an 8.5-hour flight to Buenos Aires. Imagine how it is going from L.A. or Seattle to have to go down to that extreme. Again, it's a better reference to have people. I mean, I'd love to see that one day, but logistically, I just can't see it happening. You know, teams flying 16, 17 hours to go play a match and then 16, 17 hours back home.
Yep. All right, so Guarani has Cecilio Dominguez and Rodney Redis, who are the two wonderful signings for Austin FC. Everybody's very excited about them in the Austin market. I know you've watched Cecilio both in Copa Libertadores when he was at Club America. Talk to me about Cecilio Dominguez and Rodney Redis.
Cecilio's coming into a very positive situation, different situation compared to where he was at Independiente, and I think that's very healthy for him. Going to Guarani is going to help him cleanse himself from all the negative vibes and all the things that he was going through in just the past few months, and so much so that he's been coming off the bench recently for Guarani and coming up with some big results, both in Copa Libertadores as well as domestically. For me, I think that's one of the biggest transactions from a Major League Soccer perspective. I think Cecilio does have potential to be a very impactful type of player if he has his mind in the right place. And I think that what's going to help him as well is to have a player upcoming like Rodney Redis to be able to play over on the opposite side or be able to open things up a little bit more for Austin from that perspective. Obviously, Austin doesn't have their full roster yet, but thinking of what they can do, of the possibilities that can emerge with those two on both sides of the ball, I think that's a very interesting proposition early on for Austin.
Talking to Juan Arango here, and of course, Claudio Reyna is the sporting director at Austin FC, Josh Wolf. They did tremendous work in scouting him, talking to him. Mm-hmm. They've told me that on this show. From your perspective, what was the problem at Independiente? Because some clubs just don't fit sometimes for guys, but what was the problem there?
Independiente's had so many problems in the past few years, and a lot of it has to do with the presidency. I mean, when you have... And I know I might be a little bit facetious when I compare it. It's like having Jimmy Hoffa running a club in the United States. I mean, the president of Independiente is the president of the largest workers union in Argentina. So that makes him one of the more powerful individuals in all of the country politically and from a football standpoint as well. He has a lot to do with AFA. The problem is that the way this administration of Independiente has run the club, they've run them virtually into the ground. They've owed players. Players have sued the club. They've lost many lawsuits. And Cecilio was amongst one of the players that was having some trouble being able to get paid. So that was one of the big problems. The team wasn't doing well on the pitch. So it's a combination of a lot of things both on and off that were causing some problems for Cecilio. And also the price tag that they had to pay from Club America for him to come to Argentina. Well, there's some big expectations. Obviously, we're not dealing with the types of transfer fees and salaries that you do in Europe. But if you consider it from a perspective where a currency has been devalued sevenfold in the past year, it's some chunk, you know, it's a good amount of money for you. It's like your salary being, you know, if you earn $100,000 a year and the next year, that same $100,000 is worth 17, then you have to kind of be working on your budget a little bit more. With Cecilio, that's been the problem, that it's been the culture at the club, the lack of money, the lack of funds, the mismanagement of said funds. And all of a sudden, he sees himself in a situation where his expectations, the expectations for him were so high, and he wasn't able to reach them with all the uncertainty around him, that he just said, look, I want out. And, and like I said before, I think at this point of his career, he is going into a positive situation, going into a place like Austin where it's a bit more relaxed compared than the turbulent times that were going on at Independiente.
Yeah, I can assure you, he's going to get his paycheck in Austin, that's for sure. That sounds like the days I played in the 80s when nobody had enough in the bank account to cover it, and guys would forego showers and jump in their cars and go to the bank hoping their check would cash.
Here's another thing
to take you into. Yeah. Argentina, obviously, because of all the things you just said, great exporters of players now. Between Major League Soccer and Liga MX, there's 92 or 93 Argentine players in these leagues. Mexico's got 51, MLS has got 41, La Liga's got 16, Premier League's got 18, Serie A 21. So obviously Major League Soccer is put a large stake in Argentina.
Yes. Yes, they put a great stake in Argentina. And
because of value as well.
Well, yeah, that too. And right now it's both a positive for MLS, and why not? But it's also a negative for these clubs, because a lot of times these clubs end up really or getting rid of players because of the financial situations that they're going through. The best case in point right now, Glenn, that I can give you is what happened today. Facundo Pellistri, who just signed with Manchester United, his buyout clause happened to be 10 million euros. With that 10 million euros, Peñarol was able to eliminate their debt as far as their financials are concerned. And it was one of the things that made them decide on selling a player that's 18 years of age. Sometimes they sell them at the right time. Sometimes they might sell them too young, but it's also because of the because of the financial problems that are going on. Even I'm talking about pre-coronavirus that have been going on in Argentine and South American football in general. A lot of these young players don't develop properly. But once you get those gems that can maybe be polished a little bit more, they could be stars, you start seeing them going to Europe, you start seeing them go to MLS, you see them going to Liga MX, and you see why many scouts have been so high on some of these young players, case in point Pellistri, and case in point many of the other young players that have come to Major League Soccer in the past, 4 or 5 years?
Outstanding. Quick one for you. Now, I only have 45 seconds because we're up on a hard break. Just tell me how relevant in your mind is Inter Miami in this market in Miami, Florida, where you live?
To be honest with you, it sucks that the coronavirus came around. They had season tickets sold galore. They had to win immediately in order to win the market, and they haven't. And they didn't have the roster that could be able to sell it properly. And also the fact that the Miami Heat are in the finals, as well as the Marlins in the playoffs. So right now they're pretty much the third field in Miami, and that's not a good thing, especially if you're not winning.
Juan, really good having you on. We need to do more with you. Thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. Tremendous insight into Copa Libertadores and also Miami. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you, sir. Hey, have a great evening. Everybody, ciao.
All right, you too. That's Juan Arango. He's a match commentator, Latin American correspondent for Diario Sport in Spain. Some great stuff there from him. I think the one that probably got Austin fans most interested was, well, a little insight into Cecilio Dominguez. By the way, the current holders of the Copa Libertadores, Flamengo, second title, and, to Juan's point, Independiente, all-time, the most successful with 7 titles. All right, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm brings us Soccer Matters here on the Horn in Austin, Texas. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to go full segment on the Premier League. Former Newcastle United defender Warren Barton will join us. John Daspit, DaspitLawAustin.com, 512-865-6710. They are bilingual. Again, DaspitLawAustin.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. 512-865-6710. Joining us now, former Newcastle United defender. You've seen him on television for Fox, also with LAFC. He's Warren Barton. Warren, thanks very much for coming on the program.
Absolute pleasure, my friend. No problem.
All right. You know I'm going to hit you with a good one right from the start. Whose result was worse, Manchester United's or Liverpool's?
From my point of view, I think it was Manchester United. Liverpool can draw a line under it and say, you know, that was a one-off. Aston Villa was magnificent. We was awful. We gave him some goals. So, you know, from that point of view, I think Liverpool can sort of say, look, it's a bad day at the office. Now we're going to obviously focus and people go away international. Manchester United's been coming and they haven't addressed problems. They haven't addressed their back line, the Gea, the confidence in the team, the drive in the team, the fight in the team, the quality in the team. That sent alarm bells for me because we see it against Crystal Palace. They scuffed along against Brighton. And then that performance that they had at the weekend. I know they get the red card and he goes down. Lamella, it's embarrassing the way he goes on the floor and rolls around. Luke Shaw's lucky not to get sent off. But I think the reaction from the players and Ollie is a big, big sign. He had no response in what he did. He's never been a leader, Glenn. I played against him for many, many years. A wonderful finisher, natural finisher, was in a great team. But he was never a personality. And that team mirrors him a little bit. They've got no personality. If things are not going well, he does. There's no response. And I don't mean anger. I don't mean anger at all. I think certain players are not going to be like that. But there's no togetherness. There's no quality. There's no drive. And that is a big concern if I'm a Man United fan.
All right, let me take you back to last year, because when they end up in third place, they get Champions League money. We're all saying, okay, now they can invest a little bit more, pick out the areas of need, find a few more players here. This is Manchester United's real chance to sustain what they did and now platform off it. And we're seeing the complete opposite. Is this about the management of the club also, the overall management?
Yeah, I think hierarchy, and also I think we're romantic because we've been spoilt with 25 years of Manchester United, and people should want to go there. And yeah, when I see Patrice Evra and Gary Neville and Roy Keane back in the UK saying, you know, Harry Kane should go there, they've lost that because of Sir Alex and what's gone on in recent years. To go there now, you're going to be a brave player because yes, it is Manchester United, and us older can remember that, but they're not really won a lot of things, not challenged for too long, so. Do you want to, like a Gareth Bale, go into that environment where you're under pressure from day one? You know, yes, it's obviously a great club and the money, but the board as well and the ownership and the directors there have got to have a big look at themselves because even from David Moyes, Fellaini was never a Manchester United player. You know, good player, but he wasn't. And they just snowballed from there. And the list goes on and on and on, the players that they've had. So at least Ollie is trying to go with young, exciting players. But we know with young, exciting players, that takes time. I just look what Chelsea have done. Chelsea have revamped with a Timo Werner. You know, why are Manchester United not looking for that type of player? I know they've gone with Jordan Sancho, but there's other players around. You know, Hakimi is an outstanding player that could have played in a number of positions. There's other players in certain leagues that could go there and do well. So, you know, it's a mixture of everything then, but it's still Manchester United and you still should be able to attract top-class players.
Well, it's strange, I mean, because now they're linked to Edinson Cavani. I mean, this is a guy that needs service. So there are other strikers that they currently have who are younger guys, Rashford and Martial and all these guys. I don't understand it.
It's like you're going back to what Zlatan, you know, they went and got him. That was a stopgap. So Edinson Cavani is a stopgap and they've had time to... I don't think Manchester United have got a plan. I don't think they look and say, right, where are we? Which players in Europe or South America are coming to the end of their contracts? Which players fit our style of football and our philosophy at Man United? Who can handle playing for Manchester United? You know, people going about Maguire's price tag. He can't do a lot about that, but he has to perform better. He's a captain of Manchester United. And his performances, I mean, Glenn as well, I mean, we all want to play out from the back. But it is ridiculous. It is it's embarrassing that what they're trying to do because it's just, even my kids would not do that. An under nine team. And, you know, we want them to play, want to express themselves, but these are professional players. I mean, David Gea is a top class international player and he's trying to do that with Maguire and Bailly. I mean, it's insane. And, you know, Tottenham must have looked at each other and said, are they really going to try this again? I mean, it reminds me of what Barcelona did against Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich was like, please don't play it. I feel sorry for you. If you're going to do it, I'm going to take the ball off your Busquets. And they did it, and it had a knock-on effect. So United have got a lot of thinking to do. But you've said it there, Glenn, and you're always right. There are some wonderful players. Rashford, but you need to then gel that with other players that are going to complement them. Don't keep getting the similar type of players that are good personalities, just play and got great skill. They need a leader. They need a man in that changing room that's gonna help them.
What happened to Harry Maguire in the World? You know, last World Cup for England. I every corner he went up on, I was like, this guy's a good bet to score a goal. He was unbelievable. I don't know what happened.
And on set pieces, he's a turn. But then it's like you get the price tag, and now all of a sudden he thinks he's a PK that can play out.
Is that what you think it is?
I think they thought, well, yeah. Instead of you bought him for what he was at the World Cup. Attacks the ball, natural defender. Yep. Now, all of a sudden, I think he thinks he can. He would come from Leicester. He's not come from Barcelona or Real Madrid. He's come from Leicester. Don't play out from the back. They head it, kick it, and score goals. That's what they do, and that's what Harry did, and Harry done it very, very well. I think he's gone to Manchester United and thinking, I've got to be Rio Ferdinand. Well, unfortunately, he's not. Yeah. And he's getting caught out.
Talking to Warren Barton, former Newcastle United defender. Let me take you to Chelsea because I looked at their lineup from the game this weekend. I did not see the game. Timo Werner, Callum Hudson-Odoi, Kai Havertz, who they got from Germany, Tammy Abraham, Jorginho, and then Pulisic coming off the bench. Mason Mount was on the bench. Giroud. This is shaping up to be a nice roster, huh?
And, you know, two things that jump out. Apart from Giroud, they've all got pace. They're all pacey, quick, though, and that's what Bayern Munich are. But you throw Giroud into that team and they've got a plan B if they need to go into a target man. So I look at Frank, what he's doing, and I can see a plan. I can see the club have got these young, hungry players. They've kept Giroud because they need a man. They need a bit of experience. And they're going to need a different way of playing because when teams sit back and there's not the space to go in behind, then you're going to have to play a different way. Great to see Christian Pulisic back. You know, they've spoke volumes about him. Giving him the number 10 is a big thing for Chelsea. So he's took that responsibility. They excite me. They've still got problems at the back. I mean, they've got Thiago to come in and try and rectify that. It seems what they've done is, I mean, Petacek's gone out and got the goalkeeper. That's exactly what Klopp did at Liverpool. I need a dominant centre-half, Van Dijk. I need a good goalkeeper. They went and fit the bill. And that's what Chelsea have done. Chelsea have gone and got a goalkeeper, an experienced player that will get them through this year. So Zouma and all the other younger players, James, will get more experience with him next to them. And then up front, they can play with Kai Havertz in the hole, Timo Werner down the middle, Tibor Abraham. They've got options. Chelsea comes with a bit of pressure. But they had a good performance at the weekend. And they excite me the way if they can all gel together. And Frank's got... I like Frank Lampard. I know him very, very well. He's got something about him. He's not going to back off of Klopp and Mourinho, and he's respectful, but he's not going to be bullied because of what he's achieved in the game. He's still got to achieve more as a coach, and that spurs his young players on. It reminds me of how Fergie was with his fledglings. Now he would look up for them and look after them, and let them play. And I think Frank will do the same.
With Frank in a managerial role, knowing him the way you know him, what are the areas that he continues to learn from as he goes on here in the Premier League? Because he did the work with Derby. We know he's done the work, but obviously I think you learn by the day, I would imagine, every single game you manage in this league. Where do you think he's getting polished a little bit more as this goes along?
I think on the defensive side, because he's so forward-thinking and I'm Chelsea, I'm Frank Lampard, but I don't care about anybody. That's the way you play. And you have to play like that when you play at the top. You respect people, but you don't fear anybody. The higher up you go with teams, the Zidanes of this world and Atletico Madrid, you're going to have to be a bit more tactically aware. You can't all push forward. We've seen Pep try it a little bit with two holding midfield players. So he's even changed his little bit. So I think what Frank Lampard's got to try and do is yes, keep that positivity and keep that aggression of how Chelsea, we're going to play, but also be aware of when you do turn the ball over, where you're vulnerable, how can you be better? You know, the fullback situation with Alonso, he looks like he's rectified that. So there's areas where I think he's, like you said, Glenn, he's learning all the time. He's learning to deal with the media. Like if I was him now, I wouldn't keep arguing with other coaches and their backroom staff. He's made his point. And like Mourinho said, don't get too carried away, you know, and still be humble. Still be humble in what you're doing. But also know that on the back of your mind, I'm Frank Lampard, I'm Chelsea, I've got a right, but you have to earn the right. So there's a couple of things there that I think he just needs to work on. But he will do, Frank. He's got a great, I mean, his dad's around him and his dad will tell him what to do. And and how to and what he's been is he's always been a wonderful professional. So he'll look at himself as well. It's lovely to see him go toe to toe with some of the people on the touchlines.
Yeah. It is fun. It makes for some good entertainment. All right, yeah. Last one before I let you go. We see this result from Aston Villa, and then you look at their roster and some of the changes they've made. They've added Ross Barkley. Ollie Watkins hits for a hat trick in the first half. So the Villas of the world, the Arsenal's on the rise with Arteta now. Do you see the Premier League just getting tougher and tougher now with some of the gains that some of these other clubs have made?
I would throw Everton into that as well with Carlo Ancelotti. I think them. But then on the reverse effect, we've seen Wolves and Sheffield United. They've struggled a little bit. But yeah, I think you're seeing
Leeds,
now.
Leeds is another
Leeds,
one.
Yeah, Leeds have hit the goal. But I think Leeds will ride this. I've seen Ipswich do it when they first come up. Sheffield United do it. You know, these teams that just hit the ground running and then they're going to hit a wall. They could quite easily lose 3 or 4 games, even with Bielsa, who, you know, we know is an outstanding coach. So they will hit a wall somewhere along the line. But it probably won't be until after the new year with all the adrenaline and the excitement. And it may help them at the moment not playing in an empty stadium because there's no fans, there's no pressure. They can just go out and play. It's like a practice game. But I think the Premier League now, with how it's shaping up, with the money that was spent, you've just touched on it, Aston Villa, who survived on the last game in the Premier League. So they've reinforced with someone like, as you said, Ross Barkley and the strikers, that they're going to be challenging Newcastle, my team. You know, they're 6. And, you know, everyone was asking for Steve Bruce to get sacked a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, then pointed to Tottenham with Mourinho. You know, at the beginning, we thought they're against Everton. They're awful. And he's lost his mojo. And they're on a great run of form. I think you're going to be 8 teams challenging for 4. And that's where, you know, it's going to be tough. I still think Liverpool and City have got the gap. But I think that gap has been closed by the teams that we mentioned. Now, you wonder if United are going to hang in there, or are they going to fall by? Chelsea, you feel like they're going to be there or thereabouts as well. And, you know, last season, it was a bit of an anti-climax. We just lauded how good Liverpool was. This year, I think there will be a race. I think it will be a challenge for everybody.
Warren, as always, thank you very much for coming on. This turned into a nice Premier League segment here, especially with you. So thank you very much for that.
Absolute pleasure, my friend. Take care.
All right. That's Warren Barton, former Newcastle defender. Does a lot in youth development as well here in the United States. That'll do it tonight. DaspitLawAustin.com was our presenting sponsor, 512-865-6710. Big thank you to them. Also to our producer, Sam Pika. We're going to throw in there also Lustau Vermouth, Lustau. Lustau Vermouth, ask for it at your local liquor store. Sam Pika, Victor Ariza, and again, our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, and the Daspit Law Firm. Until next Monday, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night.